All right, everybody. Welcome to the final edition of the Growth Equation Academy, part one. In the future, as we explore more concepts ourselves, we go deep, we will bring those to you. But for now, our journey will end. And we are ending with a topic that is all about beginnings and ends, which is transitions. So what are we talking about when we talk about transitions? Anything that asks you to go from here to there in a big way in life. It can be retirement. It can be changing careers. It can be becoming a parent. It can be going from being an individual contributor to a manager. These are the things that are very hard to do when we're asked to leave behind old identities, old ways of being, old habits to begin new ones. Transitions are often very scary and stressful, whether they are positive or negative. Whether you're getting divorced or married, there is a lot of arousal and a lot of stress that comes with those events. So transitions are values neutral. They're not good or bad. It's just a part of being a human. It's a part of living life, and it's really not talked about nearly enough. So Steve, I think a good place to start is with some of the work that you've done thinking about transitions in elite athletes, because it's such a stark example of when transitions sometimes go awry. And I think we can learn a lot from that extreme.
Sure. So elite athletes have it interesting because, well, they have it interesting in two ways. First, with identity, which is identity is basically how you answer, who am I? Or what am I doing with my life? Or how did I get to this point? Identity is the inner story or inner narrative that we tell ourselves of who we are and what we've become. So identity is incredibly important because it ties to our overall health and psychological well-being. And with athletes, it's interesting because a lot of times with talented elite level athletes, even in their younger days, what happens is they have almost a premature identity foreclosure. Meaning when, you know, you or I are on the playground, you know, trying soccer, then basketball, then picking up the violin or guitar and all these other things. Talented athletes tend to, unfortunately, lock in very early to one thing and follow that path, which means they stop experimenting, they stop dabbling, and their identity gets locked in. So that's one part of it on the identity issue. And then the other part is when their career ends. And often it's not like working in a workplace where we say, hey, I'm going to retire at 65. Sometimes that retirement is forced upon us right after college. Sometimes it's a couple years after that. Sometimes, you know, if you're lucky, it goes into your mid or late 30s, and then you have to move on to something else. And for this, athletes have a really difficult and really unique situation because it's difficult to move on when all your peers are already well into their career. So I read in a study a couple of years ago, I love this phrase and I remembered it, and they said, athletes die twice, which means once when we all die, but once when their sporting career ends and they have to navigate that grief, that sense of self, that sense of self-worth that they tied themselves to for the last, you know, 5, 10, 15, 20 years, and transition to something else. And it's really freaking difficult.
Yeah, and I think that, well, as I said, that is a real extreme case. There are obviously cases that are more extreme, right? There's a divorce. There's the death of a loved one. So the goal isn't to go through these transitions all hunky-dory and a peak performer and knock it out of the park. Often it's just to go through with as much grace and grit as one can muster. So how do you do that now that we've talked about it? Well, the first thing to do is to know that it's going to be really hard and to not judge yourself for feeling lost. I think what often happens in type A high performing people is we score high on the trait of conscientiousness. Conscientious people, they like to have a plan. They like to stick to the plan. They like to follow through with that plan. They like to measure themselves against the plan. while a transition creates an enormous liminal space. By definition, you're literally going from one plan to an open space before you start another. So it's completely normal to feel lost in that open space. And what can make lost feeling worse is when you judge yourself for feeling lost, which is something else that type A people love doing. We love judging ourselves. So if you say, oh my gosh, I shouldn't be feeling lost. I'm so privileged to even be in this situation, yada, yada, yada. All that might be true, but you're still feeling lost and what you're feeling is what you're feeling. So the first thing is to avoid this trap of making any transition worse, which is A, to expect it to be easy, and then B, when it's harder if you feel lost, not judging yourself for feeling lost. Okay, once you get that far and you're just lost, well, the goal isn't just to stay lost forever either. So what can help during transitions? The number one thing, and it cannot be overstated enough, is to find support in other people who you can trust and ideally who have been there before. If you're an elite athlete going through a transition, the best thing that you could do, and Steve, hopefully some institution has created these, there should be support groups where other elite athletes, almost like AA, that are sober, that have made the transition, can counsel younger elite athletes. If you're going from being an individual contributor to a manager, there should be support groups with other people who have made that jump. There's coaching, there's mentors. Don't try to walk the path alone, right? Because if you think about it, just all kinds of compassion, spirituality, love, kumbaya aside, if a transition is being lost, well, what do you do when you're lost? Is you find a guide. So that's the first thing that you can do.
The other part that I think is really important is to realize that you are the author of your own story. So instead of thinking of it as, oh, this story is written for me in ink and I can't change it, you need to see your inner narrative, your self-story as you are the director, you are the editor. You can shape and mold things in the way that you want to. Now, that doesn't mean to go make up things and, you know, tell stories on this stuff, but the way in which you see and interpret your struggles or the things that you're going through during the transition help a lot. You know, there's in the educational world, there's the fabulous work by Carol Dweck that's done a lot of work on looking at how people can change, how students can change their internal narratives based on how they succeed or fail, and that will influence their academic performance. The same thing is true when we zoom out and we look at our life. How we frame successes and failures, how we frame the lessons that we've learned during maybe the first part of our career, and going into the second, or the first part of our life and going into the second, is incredibly important. So taking the time to be the author of your own story, to take the time to pause and reflect on how you want, you know, that memory to go forward, and that will help a lot.
Hi, y'all. The Growth Equation is 100% member supported and independent. We don't take sponsorships because we find so many of the products and services that sponsor podcasts like ours simply don't work. So instead, we have an exclusive membership program. For the cost of a cup of coffee, you get access to deep dives on everything we talk about in this very show. How-to guides, special podcasts, signed copies of our books, a live monthly discussion group, and a live mastermind group with other members. To learn more and sign up, visit www.patreon.com/thegrowthequation. It's a win-win. You support the sustainability of the show and you get so much in return. So once you're over that very hard and challenging hump of feeling lost, finding some guides, whether they're mentors, coaches, people who have walked the path before, you can get that in person, you can get that through movies, through podcasts, through books, getting help, helping you find your way forward, writing your own story, starting to see that you are navigating towards the other side. Well, then the question becomes, how do you move in to the next phase? And here, we love turning to the work of one of our best friends and colleagues, David Epstein, who wrote a book called Range. And for those who aren't familiar, Range makes the argument that contrary to conventional wisdom, which says that hyper-specialization makes sense, the people who are the most successful in life by conventional standards and also who are the happiest in life tend to be people who have broad sets of experience. They have range. So, conventional thinking, conventional wisdom, conventional performance bros. Specialize, specialize, specialize. Transitions are bad. You were once a runner. There's no way you can do anything else. You once worked in tech. Good luck writing a book. What actually is true, and what Dave so eloquently proves in his book, citing hundreds and hundreds of studies, is that the more experiences that you have, the more range that you have, the better fit you'll be for your next chapter. So it's a case for being a generalist. And that mindset shift in itself is so powerful and so freeing if you're undergoing a transition.
So I like to, you know, summarize this pretty succinctly as, when you're going through a transition and trying to figure out what to do next, dabble in a lot of different things. And it's following your interest to dabble in these ideas to see what one can spark, you know, a deeper dive, which might, to tie it back to the passion paradox, might eventually develop into a passion. Hopefully you can see how all these things come together. If you dabble in enough things, another neat side benefit is that you'll start to see connections. You'll start to see connections where you used to see divisions and silos. So one of the great things that Brad and I have really noticed and tried to explore is, and hopefully you notice this in this podcast, is we bounce between different worlds of business and athletics and different sports and different music and artistry and different types of performers. The reason we do that and the reason we try to challenge ourselves to do that is because of that connections and those interests. The broader your kind of base is, the better chance you have of putting together these connections and then going deep on something that you really enjoy.
Yeah, and I think that sums it up in a nutshell, because you're basically taking all of your experiences that you have with you, testing the unique combination of those experiences in different pursuits, and then finding the best fit. And then once you find that fit, things start to click. It's back to the section on passion, right? The best way to have passion isn't to magically hit lightning. It's to cultivate it over time, explore, let things click, and continue to develop it. So the last thing that I'll say on transitions, and it's worth repeating over and over again, and I'm sure it's come through, is that they're really freaking hard. They're so hard that I don't have the words for it. Steve doesn't have the words for it. So we're going to turn to the poet David White. And the poem David White says that the things that you care about break your heart. And what does he mean by that? What he means by that is that when you care deeply about something, it is inevitable that that thing will change. Nothing is permanent. Everything is impermanent. People perform well, people decline. People get jobs, people retire, people get fired, and ultimately, people live and people die. So the cost of caring deeply about something is that it is going to be hard and it is going to break your heart. This is particularly true amongst transitions that are forced. So if you are retiring as an athlete, even though you don't want to, but because of age or injury, you can no longer compete, that's going to suck. If you are getting asked to leave a job, even though you think that it's unfair and you should be there, that's going to suck. If your kids are moving out of the house, well, you have two choices. You can either have a 36-year-old like Steve living with you, or you can go through the pain of not having control over your kid and having your kid move out of the house. That's going to suck. So it is kind of the cost of entry to play in so many of these meaningful games is that you're going to experience heartbreak that comes of transition. And as we said, the only real way through it is to be patient, to give yourself some grace, and to find others who can support you who have walked a similar path.
So to summarize up, since this is part one of the Growth Equation Academy, what we've tried to accomplish here is to try and give the key tools, ideas, concepts behind the work that Brad and I do to help performers not only perform, but also help you in terms of your well-being, health, etc. So hopefully if you made it this far, you enjoyed it. If you want a deeper dive, what I'd suggest is A, make sure that you're part of our Growth Equation newsletter, and then an even deeper dive, our Patreon group, which allows you to have monthly book discussions, and then more importantly, quarterly mastermind groups where we go into some very deep dives on these topics. If you have feedback for us regarding these Academy podcasts, we'd greatly appreciate it. As always, our goal is to put out good content that helps you and those listening become better, healthier, and happier at what you do.
Only thing that I will add is please rate and review the podcast. It is the best way to help other people find the podcast. And we want to spread these tools, these concepts, these ideas far and wide, keep the conversation going, bring other people into the tent of no-nonsense performance that not only allows you to be your best, but also feel good while you're doing it. And please follow along with our traditional podcast. We go deep on these topics. We bring in guest experts. We continue to explore and wrestle with ideas. And it's a wonderful way to stay on the feed so that when we release part two of the Growth Equation Academy, you'll be there to catch it right away, because there are a whole other set of concepts and topics that we want to explore that transcend sustainable peak performance and really get into more of what we call human flourishing, or how do you really live a good life in a way that is evidence-based, in a way that keeps you grounded, in a way that makes you tough in the truest sense, while still crushing it. So that's what we're here to do. And with that, we will catch you soon. Thanks for listening to the Growth Equation Podcast. Learn more about our work and find show notes at our website, www.thegrowtheq.com. Follow us on Twitter at B. Stahlberg and at Steve Magnus. And if you like what you listen to, please subscribe, rate, and review the podcast, as this goes a long way in helping it reach others.